Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, a deep dive crime podcast which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. Today's case makes me want to, shall we say, create some strategies where certain individuals go down a little bit of a different route when it comes to the justice system. But I'm not queen of the world. I can't do that. All I can do is tell you this story and ask you whether you feel satisfied with the verdict. Let's go back to the 21st of June 2017. I'm going to tell you something. Unusually, I feel very satisfied with the individuals who investigated this particular crime. Too often, we hear of cases that should have come to the surface and they don't. And it means that offenders get away with the most deplorable things. But wow, when it comes down to the agencies involved in solving this particular crime, and believe me, the satisfying thing about this particular case is it's going to open the door for many more prosecutions. It's going to be like a spider's web extrapolating to all those other offenders and reeling them in. Sadly, you won't be able to suck their insides out like a spider would, but hopefully justice for victims will be coming, and it will be coming for many because of this particular case. So let's go back to the 21st of June 2017. This is when the National Crime Agency literally brings to an end a grueling, and it was a grueling, four-year international manhunt. It ends with the arrest of a guy called Dr. Matthew Folder. Would you believe it? A Cambridge-educated geophysicist who was living the most unbelievable, sinister double life. He was shielded essentially in his crimes for a long time by the dark web. And this absolute excuse for a human being, certainly an excuse for an academic, he was somebody who had approached over 300 victims globally. They're the ones they know of. Let's be clear, just because they know of victims doesn't mean that there aren't more. He would systematically target vulnerable individuals, often kids, of course, to force them into the most degrading, humiliating, abusive acts on camera for his own amusement and for others' own amusement. Because believe me, all this man does is reveal the other individuals in this world who are as deplorable as he is. This case of Matthew Folder is one that is stomach churning. It's one that's really important to listen to. And it's one that is hopefully going to lead to so many more arrests. Let's talk about Matthew Folder. Grew up in a wealthy part of Cheshire, about 40 minutes from where I live. He actually attended the King's School in Macclesfield, and that's a very good school. And when it comes down to his academic performance, it was considered excellent, which is interesting because in other areas of performance, he is deviant on every single level. But the truth is that when you think about psychopaths, and I'm going to put him into that category, these are individuals who can compartmentalize very effectively. These are individuals who can do very well in their world because they don't feel fear in the same way. They're often quite intellectual if they're high on the spectrum. They're individuals who can do things that are absolutely deplorable in the background and still appear to be a decent human being in the front of the ground. He went to Clare College at the University of Cambridge. Here he studied natural sciences. In fact, he specialised in geology and then he went into geophysics. Now, he stayed at Cambridge long enough to actually complete a master's in seismic imaging. Seismic imaging, it's actually this geographical... And he actually stayed at Cambridge, not just for his undergrad, but he also did a master's at Cambridge. It was in seismic imaging. I had to look it up. I'm going to be real with you. I didn't know what seismic imaging was. It's basically a geophysical technique. It uses controlled acoustic waves to create really highly detailed 2D or 3D maps of the Earth's subsurface. And it works by generating sound waves. So via dynamite, vibrosis trucks, or marine air guns. And then they basically record how they reflect and refract off different rock layers, and that will reveal hidden geological structures. And he also, aside from that, got a doctorate in seismic oceanography. And when it came down to his PhD research, it centered on seismic reflection profiling, the use of acoustic waves to map structures deep beneath the ocean floor, apparently. And as you would imagine for somebody who has done a doctorate, some of his work contributed to peer-reviewed academic publications. So when you look at that as an academic, as somebody involved in all this research and some pretty groundbreaking stuff, he really does have a promising early career as a scientist. People genuinely thought this guy stood out for all the right reasons. In fact, one former tutor, who probably regrets saying this now, described Folder as one of the finest students whose work had international impact. I'm going to tell you what his impact was internationally. It was as a predatory paedophile of the highest level, who certainly, as far as I'm concerned, could take some of those rock formation photographs, figure out where hell is directly, and then send him forthwith. That would be very, very effective. The international impact this man has had is certainly very broad in nature. And like I said, will hopefully impact many people around the world who 100% deserve to also go to hell with him. Now, Folder, he actually remained at Cambridge from 2007 to 2014. People who knew him there, again, probably regret some of their words. They said, both his friends and colleagues, that he was extroverted, funny, and apparently the life of the party. If you want to be a monster, make sure you wear a mask. I mean, he literally looks like somebody who is a child predator. So I guess you're going to have to develop some kind of defenses where people aren't looking at you and thinking, who are you abusing? Genuinely, he could be the face of predators everywhere. So he acts like he's sociable and happy and fun and extrovert, because of course, that means that people don't look behind the mask. And people said he was really well liked. He was very sociable. And after his doctorate, he moves to the University of Birmingham, excellent university in the UK. And he moves there as a postdoctoral researcher, but also he's a lecturer in geophysics. He would give lectures on the geophysics of the Falkland Plateau, for example. Again, this is not something that I just know off the top of my head. I did have to go and look for what this is. I knew it was something to do with Argentina and the Falklands. So the Falklands Plateau is a large area of continental and oceanic crust in the South Atlantic. Apparently extends over 1,500 kilometres eastward from Argentina towards South Georgia. And it sits beneath 200 to 2,500 metres of water. That's particularly an area that he was interested in and he lectured on. But whilst all this is going on, whilst he is essentially all these things to all these people, he's also in the background from really early doors been committing the most heinous crimes. And these begin, as far as records show, in his first weeks of arriving in Cambridge. So ultimately, the minute that he leaves home, and he's already had a very nice upbringing, very good education, but the minute he's got a little bit of freedom, that's when the deviance really surfaces. Don't get me wrong, he will absolutely have offended prior to arriving at Cambridge, but this is where they record the beginnings. So his offending begins in 2007 and just doesn't stop. It doesn't stop until his arrest, which is a whole decade later. So you can imagine the kind of harm this kind of excuse for a human being has caused. Now, Folder's first documented offence happens in 2007. This is a year that he arrives at Cambridge as an undergraduate. And he does something that really symbolises what we see in escalatory crimes. He installs a camera in his home and basically films his uni housemates in their shared bathroom. Now, of course, they don't have any idea of this voyeurism. They're not consenting to this. They've got no knowledge.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Of this, and like I said, when it comes down to these kind of crimes, they're always escalatory. What begins as a non-contact violation will, in the end, come down to some kind of contact violation. I absolutely stake my life on that. Now, the footage was obviously for his own use. He enjoys being titillated by this. He gets won over on his housemates. He gets to see things that he wouldn't ordinarily see, because believe me, not many people would be inviting this kind of individual into their intimate space. But one thing that he doesn't do at this point is he doesn't distribute it. But this is 2007. So bear that in mind. There has been leaps and bounds when it comes down to internet connection distribution. So the fact that he isn't distributing it then is because he's not schooled and he's not efficient in this practice. This is an academic. Remember that. We're talking about somebody who is excellent at research and understands the landscape they're operating in. So unless he has the tools and resources to actually make sure that he's not going to get caught, then the likelihood is he will just retain it for his own pleasure until it becomes possible to share it for his own pleasure. Now, he's 18 at that point. Interestingly, one of his housemates records a conversation where he tells her that he's been videoing them, but she doesn't take it seriously. She laughs it off. She thinks he's just making it up. She doesn't confront the situation. She doesn't share the situation. She certainly doesn't report foul. That's such a misstep, because at that point, there would have been very strong ramifications. For example, he wouldn't have been staying at Cambridge if he was voyeuristically recording his housemates. And that would have been a big red flag for the authorities. But because she doesn't take it seriously, because he's such a good guy, he's such an extrovert, he's such a nice person, he's the life and soul of the party, that prevents her from moving forward, because she just has that bias of belief that he's a good human being. And that means that he's enjoyed letting somebody know. And that's interesting, because that is probably a trigger for what's going to happen down the line. He liked sharing it and getting away with it. Suddenly, that escalates the crime. It escalates the psychological comfort from the crime. I can do this and actually tell somebody I've done this and nothing's going to come for me. So the offending continues. It escalates year by year. This is as he continues to get away with his crimes. There is no consequences. He's just getting better at what he does. And believe me, this is somebody who studies constantly because of his work. It's part of his landscape psychologically, academically, educationally. So of course, he can study the work that he's doing for the university whilst also studying hard for the thing he enjoys doing most in his private time. Now, the physical extent of Folder's voyeurism is literally vast. So we know that he's installed the actual cameras where his housemates are concerned filming them. He also installs secret cameras in public toilets and even, bizarrely, within his own family home in Cheshire. If you can imagine deviance, you can't get any more deviant than literally filming your mum and dad. Let's just be real about that. Think about how twisted you have to be to actually think, I want to see my mum go into the toilet. That's a level of deviance that is rare. And you know what's really terrifying? And women fear this a great deal because we know it exists. This is not uncommon. It's not uncommon that men are going into women's bathrooms and putting cameras in there. Happens at Airbnbs, happens at hotels. There is a whole world of this subculture where these deviants share this kind of content online. And it's harrowing because you're in a very vulnerable place, you're in a very vulnerable space, you're exposed, and you are wondering what is going on around you. You're looking at different things around you and trying to figure out whether maybe there is a camera. I've done that many times when I'm in my Airbnbs because I travel a lot with my tours and therefore I'm in different places. And it's one of those things that stays with me constantly. You have to check out your environment because, like I have said, this is a vast area where people share this deviant content. And it's grotesque on every level, but it's real. Now, Folder's primary method of initially finding victims when he extends his abuse is he would create this female persona. In particular, he would create Liz. So Liz is a young woman. He would then use the profile of Liz or others similar to basically approach people on the internet. Now, he first used Gumtree. For those of you who don't know what Gumtree is, it's somewhere that you can sell and buy, you can connect with people. I got one of my dogs who was a rescue dog from Gumtree. Lots of people use it, but like any kind of classified ad scenario, there's always a darkness that exists for those who want to find it. So what he would do, he'd look for adverts, usually from young children, male or female, who might be looking to make a bit of cash. Liz, or one of his other personas, would then reach out to that child. And he would do what every single predator does in the history of predators on the whole. He would build a rapport as Liz over days or weeks. And then he'd get to a point where he'd start making some requests. But they wouldn't be automatically sexual. They would literally be things that the child or the young person could believe. So Liz was his by far most successful persona. She was described as a depressed female artist, and she wanted to seek references for life drawings. So she wanted to amass categories of life drawings. We know that some people feel comfortable taking their clothes off and having artists sketch them. Personally, I couldn't imagine anything worse. The idea of being naked in front of strangers is something which would send me to a very dark place. The idea of them then recording my body whilst I was naked is something that would traumatise me for the rest of my life, and maybe even some of the people who saw the drawings. But there are loads of people who are out there loving this kind of opportunity because they feel confident in their body, they love art, and that there's nothing wrong with it because the human body is beautiful in all shapes and sizes. And with respect, when those artists are using life drawing opportunities, it's always deeply respectful towards the person who is posing. So it is not outside the realms of reality that a young person could not be coerced into thinking, oh, there's nothing wrong with this. They've not got the nuance of experience. They're not thinking about predators online. They're thinking more about, well, I really could do with some cash. And it seems like Liz, who's a depressed artist, is offering me money. And basically, Liz would offer money between £200 and £400 for artistic photos. And of course, Liz would promise complete privacy. So bear in mind, these children are not being asked for photos that are very explicit. They're meant to be sending things that are relatively, shall we say, nuanced in an artistic way, where it's just areas of their body that can then be sketched. And you can imagine that £200 to £400 is a huge amount of cash for any young person. So once that victim sends basically a partially clothed or naked image, Folder will be like, I'm not Liz. I'm actually going to be somebody who's going to try to ruin your life. I'm going to blackmail you and I'm going to destroy you. And let me tell you, that was Folder's main prerogative. He wanted to dehumanize and ideally destroy the person that he's now reeled in. Now, of course, there will be young people who, once he revealed himself as Liz, will have said no. That does happen. Some of the best advice that I can give any parents who are bringing up children or anybody who's close to children in their lives, if you want to actually educate them about predators online, when they are faced with a scenario where somebody comes forward and says, right, if you don't do this now, there's going to be a consequence, tell them, no matter what they have done, to just say no. That image that person has, whatever they're going to do with that image, they're going to do with it. The child doesn't understand that. They're still believing, because of their relationships with positive adults in their life, that if an adult says, actually, da-da, I'm this horrible person who's got your image now, but if you do this for me, I'm going to make sure that I don't send that to anybody that you know. The child has to understand that they will do whatever they wish to do with that image. They have no control over it. They're now helpless to that image, but they can prevent any other images going there. And we absolutely know that predators leave kids alone who say no. So that is the best advice I can give you. Just say to your children, if you ever find yourself in hot water like this, if you ever make a decision that you regret, just say no. When they threaten and coerce you into doing more, because that is a spiral you can't get out of. So he basically does what we know these predators do. He threatens to send the images to the victim's family, to the school, or to employers if they don't then comply with more depraved demands. And the demands are absolutely devastating. This creates, of course, a psychological self-reinforcing trap. Every coerced act provides Folder with more leverage, more ammunition. It makes it all but impossible for the victim to then go and disclose the abuse, because that's another thing that victims struggle with. They feel humiliated. They feel stupid. They feel afraid. They fear that people who love them will reject them because of their actions. All of these limitations are why these victims don't seek support and help. So this would be classed as a very high level of sextortion, and this is about pure psychological domination. That's what he wants. Boulder wants to be in charge of the unhappiness of that child. And he is a member of a really prominent hurt core group of communities. Now, when we talk about hurt core, this is not just a collection, shall we say, of illegal material. It's a sadistic social environment where these absolute grotesque examples of inhumanity actually trade, rank, and encourage cruelty. It's really hard to hear this because so many of us just want to live in our bubbles. There's a lot going on in our worlds. We struggle with our economy, with our work stress, with our relationships at times. And it's really challenging to then add another layer where you realize that the world has this demonic layer to it. Because people just want to ignore that, because if they ignore it, they don't have to realize that there are people in their neighborhoods who fit what I'm talking about today. There are people in our social circles who are interested in this particular material, but we have to be aware of it. Because if we're not, we put our children at risk because we're not informed enough. And the reality is this kind of horrifically sadistic social environment is popular and it escalates behaviours of the offenders themselves too. Now, the police, they've actually characterised hurtcore as manipulating others into performing acts of rape, murder, sadism, torture, paedophilia, blackmail, humiliation, and degradation. That's how the police characterise it. And these forums are full, absolutely full, of men in particular, but also women who love causing sadistic harm to other innocent beings. In these forums, he was operating under names like 666 Devil, like I said, demonic, on every single level. Somebody who aligns himself that way, 666 Devil, it speaks to his true nature. He also was registered as Evil Mind, and this guy was prolific. He was posting very frequently. Now, the site Hurt to the Core is a site that was founded by an Australian guy called Matthew Graham. His username was Lux. So this served as a hub for these posts. And Graham's philosophy for the site was that it shouldn't be the normal offender. That's not who they're going for, the normal offender. Whatever the normal offender is, I've got no idea. But what he wanted was for those who wanted to actually see the pain. That was his site. I swear to God, I have no problem in saying that people like this should not get to breathe again. Genuinely.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I do not believe that somebody like Graham has any human rights, and I cannot believe that taxpayers should ever have to fund these kind of individuals' incarceration. They don't deserve any life after doing what they do. Folder was so successful in this area, he earned his way into the Producers Lounge, as it's known. Producers Lounge sounds like something you might get on a Netflix set. You know, the Producers Lounge, where those who've done very well in their career arrive and they get to have free lattes, shall we imagine. But of course, what we're talking about here is he gets into the Producers Lounge because he's creating this grotesque producer's material, essentially. He's the one producing it. This is a restricted tier for those who create original content, original abuse material, and he actually achieved the rank of rapist on these sites. Literally. I kid you not. That's a badge of honour for these absolute not rights. And Folder went so far as to solicit suggestions from hurtcore communities about what do you want me to do to my victim next? And let me tell you, if they could lead a victim to end their time on this planet, well, that would score big points. Imagine that we're talking about communities where these tiers are actually considered badges of honour and that people want to achieve them. And imagine how many people are watching this and contributing to this and getting names like rapist as a rank. It takes a lot of people to create these sites together and to aspire to such ranks. We're not talking about a few people. We're talking about thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of individuals as warped as this man. Once Folder establishes his leverage over a victim, he then orders them to photograph and film themselves in the most degrading of situations and just put yourself in the position of a 13-year-old kid, a 14-year-old kid. You're suddenly caught in this web where you have to do things that you don't want to do and you never wanted to do, and you feel completely helpless, and that you have this person who is demanding these things of you, or there will be serious consequences for your life. Imagine being 14, you're studying for your GCSEs in the UK, or you're in America or Australia, and you're going through the rigors and the challenges of being a 14-year-old. I mean, it is already full of pitfalls and problems and neuroses about yourself. And you're having to go to school every day and knowing that day that when you get home, horrendous things are going to be playing out when you have any private space. Imagine having to live with that burden. And then imagine why some people may choose not to live with that burden. Because I can put myself back at 14 when I didn't have mortgages and children and responsibilities, and where my private life felt, if anybody found out about it, whatever it was, as innocent as it might be, I wouldn't have been able to cope. Then I put myself in a situation where suddenly pictures of me are being distributed all over the web, and my friends might see them, and my school might see them, and my parents might see them. I don't even know what a dark place I would have arrived in. And I'm sure that most of us can relate to that. He would force victims to eat their own feces, lick toilet seats, lick used tampons. He'd make them eat dog food. And these victims were also forced at times to carve really degrading words into their own skin and then photograph the wounds. They will be there for life. The reality is that whilst your skin heals, we all know that you're going to have those white scars. I've worked with many self-harmers. And whilst there are treatments these days for very serious self-harm marks, it's very expensive and often not done on the public funding, for example, in the NHS. There are specific areas in the UK where it can happen, but that takes time. And often isn't possible for individuals who, like I said, don't live in the right area or can't afford the treatment. So you're marked for life. And of course, that means that you're owned, as far as he is concerned, by him. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to own them physically. He wants to own them psychologically. He wants to ruin every area and element of their lives. And he would make them carve things into their skin after he has demanded this that were homophobic in nature, or there would be racist slurs. Now, as a kid, being brought up in a very modern era where we know that racism and homophobia is just not tolerated in the general world. I appreciate that some people do tolerate it, but not in general. Most people just want people who are gay or who are a different color for themselves to just feel comfortable and happy in their lives. And the idea of having to put something on your skin that is going to make you seem homophobic or make you seem racist, well, you know you're going to be completely cast out from your friendship groups. No one's going to want to hang out with you. If that gets online, you can bet your bottom dollar you will not be getting a job in the future, because employers look at this stuff and they believe that you obviously have those belief systems. That's going to ruin your future. Imagine being a kid forced into that situation. It is harrowing. And this is causing joy in those hurt areas where that material is concerned. They love it. They were also instructed to perform sexual acts on themselves and others, and they had to provide video evidence. Some were actually ordered to produce material involving other people without their knowledge, so they're criminalizing these individuals. Some were forced to do humiliating poses in the school uniform, because these men and women who view this are child predators as well. Now, those images, they, of course, all end up on the Hurtcore forums, and that means that they are being violated time and time again, because these countless members of global child sex abuse networks relish this material. This deviant human being folder is also offering advice to other paedophiles on how to evade capture. Says, listen, avoid using money. Use vouchers to get kids to trust you. So send them vouchers as opposed to making any transactions from your bank. So he's actually helping these predators to build their own armory when it comes down to predatory behavior with kids. In one post, he actually described what he'd made his victims do. He said, I have them push a few pins into themselves, sometimes to attach signs, and I also had one victim stand on them in bare feet. I would like to have a good hour with Matthew Folder in his cell. I know he's a man, and that means that I have, shall we say, less power. But I'm just saying, if someone should just go in, maybe bind him in some kind of makeshift type of, I don't know, sheet bind. You know, they have sheets in prison. Just bind him in a sheet, you know, do something like that. And then give me an hour with him. I would really appreciate that. I'm pretty sure that many of you would appreciate that opportunity too. Now, one of Folder's victims, who was just 14 years of age at the time he was abusing her, he said online that he would willingly mentally fuck her up and said, I'm not sure I care if she lives or dies. Because of course, badge of honour. What's he going to get after rapist? Serial killer? He would certainly have been incentivized by such an opportunity. And of course, what he does is he incrementally increases the pressure on his victims. And let me tell you, at least four of those victims did try to end their time on this planet. Like I said, this is almost like murder in slow motion, isn't it? You can see where he's leading with this. And like I said, would he have been concerned if somebody decided to actually go ahead and remove themselves? No, he'd have been thrilled. Oh, he wouldn't have got the content anymore, but he's got plenty more victims. And now people would realise just how hard he had hurt his victims. And there is one particular victim who literally pled for the abuse to end. And they said, if you don't stop this, I'm going to unalive myself. And Folder replied, listen, the images and videos, they're already being circulated on the internet, so you just crack on. So as opposed to him saying, okay, this has gone too far, and I know none of us expect this kind of deviant to do that, but psychologically, what kind of a monster are you that somebody can say to you, I don't want to be here now, this is what you have driven me to, and for them to just say, well, here's the edge, let me push you off it by telling you that all of this material is online anyway. That's the kind of monster we're talking about. Like I said, demonic. On every single level. I know that everyone has different views, whether you're religious or non-religious. This is just my position. I believe that we are all connected to a higher consciousness. I don't have to label that. I call it God purely because it makes me feel connected. And I align myself, I suppose, more with the Christian belief system because I was born in that postcode and brought up by those parents and went to that school. But with respect, I kind of look at the world as being connected to this higher consciousness and a creator. And I believe that just as there is a light creator, there is also a dark creator. And when I say that this man has been created by some kind of demonic force, I genuinely mean that. Now, one of the things that makes Folder grotesque on every level is the superiority and aloofness that he feels compared to the average person, because obviously he's super intelligent. He's such a bright guy, and he's so academic that he's just figured out he could never be caught. This is what we see, isn't it? With narcissistic psychopaths in particular. I'm so much better than the general public. I'm somebody who is so superior to all of you mere mortals that I can just go about my business and get away with it. He believes that. He absolutely believes that. Maybe that's his Achilles heel, that he genuinely thinks he's so flawless in his crimes that he will get away with it. And don't get me wrong, he is flawless to some degree because he does get away with it for a very long time. Now, many of his UK victims, they reported abuse by In The Garden. That was the moniker. And they actually reported that to the police. But unfortunately, even though they came forward with that and very bravely came forward with that, it wasn't enough evidence for the police to identify who was behind the username. Now, he hid by using the dark web very effectively. He absolutely had researched, understood, and action-based an opportunity to maintain anonymity on the internet. He told others online that he was 100% anonymous. No doubt he liked to brag about how no one's coming for him. And he actually operated under 70 different online identities, and this is across multiple platforms. So on mainstream sites like Gumtree, we know he used those female personas like Liz, and he tailored those messages to be really credible to the specific type of person that he's targeting. On the dark web, he used identities including In The Garden, 666 Devil, and Evil Mind. So at least he knows how black his soul is. with respect. And each of those personas had its own associated email addresses. He was just having this full-time job outside of his work, genuinely. And guys, I don't know what you know about academia. In the UK, we have primary schools and secondary schools and colleges, and the staff there work ridiculously long hours. It's a very unforgiving world, education in the UK. In fact, the average newly qualified teacher actually only spends 5 years teaching. It's just really tough. I know people talk about the fact that teachers get holidays, but let me tell you, I would need the 6 weeks holidays minimum to be a teacher. It's challenging. But when you get to university, academia, and lecturing, very often the contracts don't have hours as you or I would imagine in jobs because they're academics. So he is quick at his work. He's intelligent and intellectual. He can box things off and then use his spare time to just seek this actual content and to create this content. So he uses encrypted emails. He obviously is adept at that. He also uses the Tor browser. So the Tor browser is what you download if you want to go on the dark web. The dark web is only a portion of the web as well. There is a deep dark web, which is where all the guns trading and the horrendous sex trafficking and the torture rooms, they exist there. But many people will download the Tor browser, for example, if they want to order drugs to their home because you can get them mailed to you. I know people know this, but there are different layers to what happens on that dark web. Like I said, there are just some people who do very surface things, which would be the ordering drugs to your home. And then there are some people who do the most deplorable of.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Things, which is what we're talking about here, and onward from here. So he uses the Tor browser, reroutes the internet traffic through multiple servers literally around the world, and that makes it extremely difficult to trace. Not impossible, but it's really difficult to trace. Also, he monitors his own exposure. So when any of his online identities appear to be attracting attention, he basically closes them and just opens new ones. He had been operating literally for years before investigators get close. And even when they did, closing in on Folder took over 4 years. And it also took the united approach from law enforcement from multiple countries. They worked together really effectively. They create this operation called CACAM. The investigation into 666 Devil, one of his actual personas, was one of the most complex, literally, in the history of the National Crime Agency, the NCA. Now, the operation, codenamed, as I said, CANCAM, was led by senior investigating officer Matt Sutton. I like Matt Sutton. I've listened to some of his interviews. He takes it very personally, this case, and he even says that he hates this individual and wants bad things, I believe, to happen to him. So, nice one, Officer Matt Sutton, you're one of the good uns. Now, this investigation began in April 2015. This was when the NCA was alerted to Scream, Bitch. I kid you not. It's a dark website. It's similar to Graham's Hurt to the Core. And 666 Devil used a picture of a young girl as an icon on the forum and said that she was his daughter. Also said that he was planning to take said daughter to torture her during what he dubbed as Hell Week. He should get used to Hell Week because he's going to have an eternity there, isn't he? Also requested ideas from members about what he could do to her. Now, when they realised that 666 Devil, Evil Mind and In the Garden are all the same person and that whoever they were had literally approached nearly 300 victims worldwide, including victims, by the way, in the US, they realised this is bigger than they had ever imagined. Now, don't get me wrong, even at this point where they're doing this diligent work, where they're 100% committed to bringing this person to justice, they still don't have enough intelligence to identify the suspect. He has worked real hard to prevent people knowing who he is. And that means that every single day there are more victims coming to the forefront because these kind of deviants, they escalate. They don't de-escalate. They get worse and worse and worse. And this is somebody with a clear controlling mindset. Controlling mindsets are always leading to the ultimate moment of being God. And for him, being God will be the destruction of human beings. And I don't just mean the psychological destruction, which he's clearly adept at doing. I'm talking about the actual destruction of human beings. Now, Folger's reach is global, and that means that the actual coordination has to be equally global and extensive. The NCA establish an international task force. This includes the FBI and US Homeland Security investigations. They also had the Australian Federal Police, Europol, GCHQ, as well as law enforcement in Israel and Slovenia. Now, the core challenge that they faced was attribution. So that's connecting a string of digital aliases to one physical human being. And that means the investigators have to sift through so much noisy data, as they call it. And what they're doing that is to find patterns of commonality. So in the emails and the Gumtree adverts, etc., they're looking to connect. Now, the process required up to 100 investigators working for 4 years to finally narrow down the search to the UK. All of a sudden, they realise it is one of our own in the UK who is carrying out these crimes. Now, what we've got to think about there is the collateral impact on all of those investigators. 100 men and women working to bring these deviants down. Think about what they had to look at. Think about the images that are stained into their brains. Think about the frustration where the years passed and they're seeing all of these collections of horror and they still haven't got the person that they need to bring to justice. They must go home every single day, exhausted, at times traumatized, going back to see their kids and imagining what it would be like if one of their children ended up in such a situation. By March 2017, intelligence links a person of interest to an address in Birmingham. And then the breakthrough in the case comes from one act of carelessness. Because Folger obviously thought he was faultless. Folger was advising everybody else how to remain outside of the law, remain outside of the law, being able to confront them and fine them, being able to operate in a way that's highly illegal, but with no consequences. I mean, he's made his whole career online that way, that he's the best of the best. But he wasn't. Because the thing about these predators is they genuinely think they are more superior to all of us, but it's that narcissistic belief system that often results in them making a mistake. And he does. He's installed a hidden camera, as we know, in multiple locations. And this is something that he enjoys because he's voyeuristic in nature and he gets excited by seeing you on the toilet. But you know what? In setting up one of those cameras, he accidentally filmed himself. Yeah. He literally caught himself on camera. He is the ball and the chain that means that he's going to find himself in very, very hot water. Folger at this point is identified as the suspect. This is April 2017. And then they go about their business surveilling him. He's placed under covert surveillance for 3 months. He's even filmed on the train using his laptop. And we all know what he's going to be doing on that laptop. Now, the investigation, it actually was hampered to some degree by the behaviour of technology companies. And Will Kerr of the NCA said he felt that tech companies didn't adequately cooperate with police during the inquiry. So accounts had been closed down. We know he used to do that. But they also said that some of those accounts were likely closed by the companies themselves. They were acting on their own terms of service. And that meant that it prevented investigators from identifying other victims, which is awful. I had some most disturbing messages sent to me on Instagram. In fact, the police said they were the most disturbing messages when somebody's writing a narrative about what they're going to do to you, for example, that they'd ever seen. But the reality is, Instagram didn't actually give over the information that would have identified that person. And that means that the police's hands are tied and you just have to accept that nothing's going to play out from there onwards, no matter how deplorable, disgusting, threatening and hateful those comments were. But what we're talking about here is that becoming an escalating problem in solving crimes, because obviously those victims deserve people to actually offer support and help them and get justice for them. And it just isn't happening because they're not forthcoming with the information that's required. And Kerr said that that genuinely delayed the identification of offenders. And he actually called for the government to compel tech companies to cooperate with this kind of law enforcement in any future investigations of this kind. Now, I am all for data protection. I don't want my information, my messages, my photographs shared with anybody. So I completely understand the reluctance of tech companies to go ahead and hand out this. But if we are talking about somebody breaching and breaking the law and damaging children and being predatory and ruining people's lives, of course, they should 1,000,000% be willing to engage with law enforcement on every level this way. I understand that they will think it's a slippery slope to surveillance of the general public and it should never arrive there. But like I said, that's not what they were asking for. They were asking for these predators to be exposed, and they should be exposed. Now, the 21st of June 2017 is a celebratory day for me and all of you because Folder is arrested in his office at the University of Birmingham. What a glorious thing to behold. He's 28 at the time. He looks exactly as any of us would imagine a child predator would look like. He could have a t-shirt on saying, "I am a paedophile." Seriously. I don't know what people are thinking about character-wise, but personally for me, I'd have given him a wide berth. He just gives me the heebie-jeebies looking at him. And Folder actually himself described the charges against him as the rap sheet from hell. Genuinely. And I would love to see him burning there.
What was it I'm supposed to
The offences that I've arrested you on suspicion of being involved in were blackmail, causing or inciting a child to engage in sexual activity, possessing indecent images of children.
Sounds like the rap sheet from hell.
The police had 3 days to convince the CPS that the man they had in custody was indeed the evil mind of the dark web. That's one of the characters he plays there. And fortunately, because they are fastidious with this investigation, they actually find the, quote, old notebook, which contains the digital fingerprint of his 8-year offending history. They can't help themselves, can they? They've always got their information somewhere. These kind of predators can't bear to part with things that they identify with crime-wise. It's their, shall we say, badge of honour that they keep all of this information because, hey, they want to be able to see the work they've done and the horror that they've caused. And so they literally lead investigators in the end to the reality of who they are. Now, the police found that his early voyeurism offences took place at a total of 8 locations and it involved 13 victims. At this point, Folder was questioned by the police over 3 days. Now, during that period, he does the classic that any innocent person does. He says no comment. Literally. No comment. No comment. Just, do you want to answer our questions? No comment. No comment. It's just we've got loads of information about you and we know that you're the person who's responsible. No comment. It's just you sound really guilty when you say no comment. No comment.
I remind you, you are still under caution. And I'm going to caution you now, you do not have to say anything. It may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned something which you're later relying on court. Have you done that?
No comment.
Have you sent pictures of your blackmail victims to the parents?
No comment.
Of the victim, the grandparents?
No comment.
The workplace?
No comment.
The schools?
No comment.
Like I said, this guy might have been very adept at knowing how to cover his crimes for a period of time, but in the interview, he just looks really guilty. But during that 3 days, one of the things he does admit to is controlling the evil mind account. So he's staking claim to some of the offences, just not all of the offences. Now, at this point, Folder's home in Harbourne Park Road, Edgbaston. Anybody who knows the university knows that Edgbaston is very close and that therefore is raided. And guess what they find when they go around? Well, it's like he's never grown up for a start. Is this really chaotic student-like living space. It's untidy. His bedroom's filthy. There's laundry that needs doing. There's old pizza boxes. There's coins scattered around the carpet. Because this guy doesn't care about sanitation. He doesn't care about being a grown-up and looking after himself. This guy cares only about the most deviant actions. He's addicted to it. It's who he is. It runs through his veins. Every atom of his body is about these deplorable actions. He doesn't care about cleaning. He'll buy a pizza, sit online, and do as much damage as possible from the comfort or discomfort of his own bedroom. Now, they find his desktop computer, they also get his laptop, and they notice These are just surrounded by drawers of tools and masses of wires. Now, the officers actually find information on the devices and find that he had basically had double layers of encryption. This guy was not intending to get found out. He was intending a lifetime of this kind of abuse. Now, when it comes down to the charges, he was originally charged with 188 offences. His legal team indicated he would plead not guilty to 51 of them. Why bother? Honestly, why bother? In for a penny, in for a pound. You're going to plead guilty to over 130 of the offences. You may as well just say you're guilty of all of them because it's obvious you are. But the prosecution accepted this and ordered the remaining charges to remain on file, but they weren't going to prosecute those charges. We get to the 16th of October 2017. At this point, Folder does indeed plead guilty to 137 charges against 46 victims. Those charges included voyeurism, making, possessing, and distributing indecent images of children, blackmail, encouraging serious self-harm.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Facilitating the commission of child sexual abuse offences. Multiple counts of causing or inciting the sexual exploitation of children and adults. One charge actually includes encouraging a teenager to rape a four-year-old boy. It's heinous to even have to say that, let alone to encourage somebody to do that. It actually took about 30 minutes to list the offences at Birmingham Crown Court. That's how extensive they are. Now, the University of Birmingham, who's obviously horrified by this, they issued a statement and they said the university is shocked to hear of the abhorrent crimes committed by a former postdoctoral researcher. Of course, he is a former postdoctoral researcher. Ruono Igioe of the CPS said he sought out his innocent victims on Gumtree and even targeted victims on pro-anorexia websites. I'm sure many of you know what pro-anorexia websites are, but for those of you who don't, pro-am websites have been around since I was a young person growing up and the internet beginning. Essentially, it's where people who are anorexic and have eating disorders share pictures, suggestions, really do celebrate people who are very, very sick. I mean, there is literally a hierarchy. If you're being tube fed, for example, because you're so sick, you might die. You've kind of reached the absolute ultimate position, and they are incredibly dangerous, incredibly harmful, incredibly toxic, and they cause people to lose their lives. But they're also about connecting with people who are like-minded in those moments. And when you're very, very sick, you don't necessarily want to consider yourself very, very sick. And if you can find a place where other people are like you, you can understand how alluring and appealing that is. But he knows that that's where people are deeply vulnerable. Now, on those websites, Folder posts as a teenage girl. He basically wanted to obtain images of the girls already who were struggling and suffering, and he did manage to. He got images of six girls, and boy, he loved humiliating them. And some of those victims said that coming into contact with Folder made them go ahead and try to end their lives multiple times, not once or twice, multiple times. It was something that became part of their habitual behavior because they couldn't tolerate the overwhelming humiliation that they felt and the degrading and the threats and all the things that leads to people actually feeling like somebody has pushed them over the edge of the cliff. And others said that when he was found out, and when they obviously realised that he was going to be prosecuted, whilst that would make a difference to some degree because he would have to serve time in prison, for them, it meant that they just felt the same as they always had, that they were dirty used goods. That's literally a quote. They were dirty, like used goods. It's just horrific to me that these young people, at the very beginning of their lives, with all of the neuroses and fears and mistakes that we all make when we're kids, that they feel like they are not the beautiful individuals that they truly are. No one can make you feel like a used good aside from yourself. And somebody needs to help these kids realize that, that there's nothing wrong with them. They've been exploited. They are victims. And there's nothing dirty about them. There's nothing used about them. They are as pure as they've always been. these deviant men and women, they are the dirty. They are the individuals that are broken and deviant and devil-like and demonic. And it's so devastating that you hear this time and time again, that victims of horrendous abuse believe that somehow they deserve to feel like there is something broken about them. That's again why I don't believe that these kind of predators should be allowed to exist on our planet. A mother who actually gave Folder photographs of her daughter, because bear in mind, obviously, she didn't know she was sending photographs of her daughter to a predator. She said, "I was physically ill when I found out that my child's image had been coerced from me. And I was so shook up that I was in no fit state to go into work. I feel as if I failed my daughter massively by being too trusting, as it's my job as her mom to protect her and I put her in danger." She said, "That will never go away. And it's something I have to live with and struggle with the guilt for the rest of my life." I get that we want to control our environment. If we feel guilty, then we feel like we won't do it again. But it's not our guilt to feel. When you operate in an action that was not meant to cause harm, there is no intent there. You cannot then own the guilt or shame that comes with it. You have to psychologically let that go. And if we give too much license and weight to these kind of deviants having images that we may not wish for other people to see, but that exist, we then become tied to that crime and we can't move forward. The truth is, it's done. It's over. And it's not you that's the problem when material like that about you is out there. That's on them, not on you. And whilst it might feel that you're being violated time and time again because you have no control over it, you can allow that to just swamp your mind and ruin your life. Or you can think, it's not on me. And there's nothing to be ashamed of if your body is out there, because you are beautiful and perfect as you are. Somebody else has bastardized that by doing what they've done to you. And I genuinely feel like people need to help individuals who have been victims of sex trafficking or predatory abuse online. They have to help them come to that conclusion. It is not on me. It is on those predators. And to walk forward proudly, proudly, because life is full of complexities and struggles and mistakes. And that's the only way people can truly survive these situations, is to see that they are not guilty of anything. Now, they brought a clinical and forensic psychologist, Kirstie Lowe, who obviously looked at Folder, and she said, "He took pleasure from torturing his victims. Of course he did." She said, "He refers to enjoyment. He said he enjoys seeing the reluctant look on her face." That's so powerful, isn't it? That's what he gets off on, the reluctant look on her face. The fact that this child does not want to do what they're doing, what they're feeling compelled to, they have to. And he sees that emotional struggle. And apparently he loved seeing how far he could push the victim. And we know that so many victims won't be able to speak for themselves because they won't even know who he is. They won't be aware that he's been caught, because there'll be many individuals who've been victims of him that no one's turned up. And also, to add why I genuinely believe that people like Folder should be put down, and I know that I worked in this field for a long time, I know that I have particular views that people disagree with, I accept that, I genuinely do, no one has to agree with me, but personally, this man was sharing images of baby torture. Put him down. Genuinely put him down. I just don't get it. I don't want to pay for this man's food. And my taxes do pay for this man's food. I don't want to pay for this man's comfort, because prisons in the UK aren't the most uncomfortable places in the world. I don't want to pay for this man's medical expenses when he gets sick in prison, or I don't know, gets harmed because another member of the prison population realizes what a horrendous human being he is and hurts him. I don't want to pay for that. People like this cannot be rehabilitated. Can we just be real about that? And I don't feel that it's appropriate that a man who has done this to so many people, almost killed many people, and on top of that, has been sharing images of baby torture, people like him do not deserve to breathe. A spokesperson for Gumtree actually said it maintains strong relationship with law enforcement and had also given its full support and cooperation to the NCA in their investigation. I'm saying that because, as I've said, I've mentioned Gumtree and there has been reluctance of many agencies to help. They did fully cooperate, and that is so powerfully important. So props to Gumtree. Now, SIO Matt Sutton said, "Folder's victim targeting showed organisation and also advanced manipulation. Said his primary motivation was for power, control, suffering and humiliation. He believed he had superior intellectual and computational abilities, and he was confident that he would outwit law enforcement." Oh dear. But he wasn't actually able to outwit law enforcement. And he also said there is little doubt that Fodor would have continued his offending, causing untold pain and distress to many other vulnerable people. And I hope to God they are keeping tabs on him in prison, because believe me, people get phones and ability to use the internet in prison. And this guy is schooled in how to reach people and how to con people. And it bothers me that he's inside and these opportunities do happen. And when it came down to his sentencing, Fodor was sentenced on the 7th of February 2018 at Birmingham Crown Court. Judge Philip Parker presided over it. Sadly, Beelzebub wasn't available that day to send him directly to hell to burn brightly with all the other absolute reprehensible individuals like him. Apparently, it had to be Judge Philip Parker. And he described Fodor as an internet highwayman who was warped and sadistic and whose behaviour was cunning, persistent, manipulative and cruel. Can we just call him a bastard? Can we call him a sadistic bastard of the highest level who deserves no opportunity to breathe from this point onwards? Can we just say that? I would just be so glad if we used plain English and spoke it as we should. You know, at the end of this day, this man is a complete bastard of the highest level. He's a sadistic manipulator, a child abuser, a baby torturer, and many more things. Cruel is not the word. Cunning is not the word. I will give you sadistic, absolutely. But the others just pale into insignificance when we consider this monster's behaviour. The judge also said, no one who knew you above ground had an inkling of what you were doing below the surface. So true for so many predators. Now that judge, I like, because he did give him a sentence of 32 years. Now that sentence in the UK is actually pretty magnificent, because we have pathetic sentences for sexual crimes in the UK. Let me bring it into sharp focus. Two 14-year-old boys have just got a rehabilitation order to be served in the public for raping on film two 13-year-old girls. That's what happened. A judge said he didn't want to interfere with their future. So, nice little message to rapists out there. Off you go. It'll be fine, as long as you're not too grown up. We have David Lammy, who's a MP, who's absolutely, as far as I am concerned, off his rocker, trying to suggest that if you're under 25, you know, we shouldn't really take the sexual offences that seriously, because, you know, your brain's still developing, as if at 10, you don't know what's right and wrong. But like I said, the UK is in some kind of weird spiraling trajectory to hell itself where the judicial system is concerned. I mean,
hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Put a post on social media that they don't like, you might get 3.5 years in prison. But when it comes down to just removing the sanctuary of childhood by taking somebody sexually in a way that will traumatise them for the rest of their lives, that might just get you a community sentence. So 32 years, that is a very big sentence. He was also given a sexual harm prevention order, which restricts the use of the internet and also restricts his access to children. I mean, that's a bare minimum, isn't it? That takes effect on his release. He was also given 6 years extended license period. But the defence weren't happy with that. They were like, that's not fair. So they actually had a Court of Appeals hearing that took place on the 29th of October 2018, where Fodor's solicitor, Andrew Smith, who obviously has a blackened soul, told the court this was grave offending with undoubtedly profound consequences for those who were the victims of this applicant. However, we think the custodial element of 32 years imposed was manifestly excessive. Manifestly excessive. Andrew Smith, how would you let those words trip off your tongue? I'm going to assume you might be a father. You're okay with baby torture? You think that 32 years is too long? I'm sorry. Deplorable on every level. And Lord Justice Holroyd, unbelievably, said the court concluded that the appropriate custodial term was 25 years. 25 years. However, his 6-year extended license period was increased to 8 years, so we only have to worry about him apparently for 8 years on his release as opposed to 6 years, as if that's in any way, shape or form going to stop this kind of man with such intent? Apparently, the reduction reflected the credit given for his guilty pleas. Oh, you know, he said he was guilty. It was obvious he was guilty. They literally had him on film and linked all of the technology to him. Also, they said that, you know, he cooperated with the investigators. Not initially, he said no comment. And that apparently assisted the identification and support of victims. Oh, really? Yeah. I'm sure that that's really going to sit well with those victims when you reduce his sentence considerably. Now, don't get me wrong. In spite of that, Folder's sentence remains one of the longest ever imposed for offences of this nature in England and Wales. But that's because England and Wales has got utterly shit sentencing structures for these kind of reprehensible monsters. The investigator in this case, Matt Sutton, actually gave a statement after Folder's sentencing and said, in more than 30 years of law enforcement, I've never come across an offender whose sole motivation was to inflict such profound anguish and pain. Matthew Folder reveled in it. He said, I've also never known such an extremely complex investigation with an offender who has technologically very savvy and able to stay hidden in the darkest recesses of the dark web. This investigation represents a watershed moment. Folder is not alone, so we will continue to develop and deliver our capabilities nationally for the whole law enforcement system to stop offenders like him from wrecking innocent lives. I commend the victims for their bravery, and I urge anyone who is being abused online to report it. Amen to that particular investigator, and absolutely anyone who is being coerced this way, report it. You are not the problem, they are. Now, the University of Cambridge, they said after the sentencing that they were actively pursuing ways of stripping Folder of his academic qualifications. They couldn't say if there was a precedent of a removal process for its alumni, but why don't you create one? If there isn't one, create one. Call it the Folder Clause. I would do that. Own it. Strip his qualifications. Now, Gary Broadfield, who's a solicitor and the head of cybercrime at Cartwright King Solicitors, he said that Folder's sentencing shows the dark web does not provide the cloak of invulnerability that many criminals believe it does. Broadfield actually said, even the most skillful antagonist is likely to slip eventually, particularly when they use sites and interact with their co-conspirators over a period of years. Often, they will make mistakes in the early part of their career that will come back to haunt them years later. This could be because they haven't developed the skills yet, or because they are not yet hardened criminals and don't perceive the need for high levels of security. It could simply be that they are not as clever as they think they are. Either way, once those mistakes are made, the vital evidence will stay online where investigators can discover and use it many years later. Amen to that. There are lots of men who are walking the streets and women who are walking the streets who are already in prison. They just don't know it yet. And that kind of reassures me. It makes me feel good that these individuals who think they're so much better than the rest of us and get away with it are simply people who are waiting for their sentence to be imposed, and it's coming for them. And you know what? I bet that one of them is listening right now. They can't help themselves. They tune into these kind of things because it makes them feel better than the rest of us that they too have got away with it. And they're trying to figure out, well, how can I ensure that I remain free by listening to kind of content that explores these issues? And the truth is, they are going to get caught. And I hope they are listening to this. I hope they realize that they too will have made mistakes. And it's just going to take that breadcrumb trail to get them, connect with them, and to take them down. And you know what? Prison isn't very nice with these kind of individuals. Prison's really bad. You know, prisons have a hierarchy of the kind of individuals inside. And when it comes down to predatory child molesters, they're the lowest of the low. And I don't know, maybe the fact that he looks as he is, like a child predator, that's going to lend himself to some pretty challenging situations in prison. And I hope it's regular. I don't have any empathy for this man, any sympathy for what created him. All I know is that the breath he breathes is wasted upon him. Let me know your thoughts, guys. As ever, some of you are more compassionate than me. But with respect, this kind of human being isn't human as far as I'm concerned. And therefore he doesn't deserve not even a moment of human rights. He denied all of his victims those. He should have his denied too. See you again next time, guys. Look after yourselves. Be safe.
Hey,
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.